You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
All right. Y'all ready for the word now?
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right. This morning, the title of my message is Faith in the Fire. Faith in the Fire. When you think about fire, you think about something that consumes, something that purifies, very powerful, and it's something that... we have different ways of how we think about it. Well, in the book, and if you would, turn with me to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, the third chapter. The story of Shadrach, Meshach,
and the bed nigga.
I've heard so many people butcher that name. But the name is not important. What they did is the most important thing. In the book of Daniel, the third chapter, and before we get to the verse that I want to talk about, it's the story of these three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in the story, there's a king, Nebuchadnezzar, who has put out a decree that he created a golden god, and the instruction was that everybody would worship that god. You had no choice. You had no choice. Because if you didn't worship that god, it wasn't free worship like we have today. If you didn't worship that god, there was a serious consequence, a deadly consequence, actually. So if you don't worship this god, you will be thrown into a furnace of fire. So that kind of helped people decide on whether or not they're going to worship or not. The real question was not whether or not you're going to worship. The real question was, do you want to continue to live? Because if you choose not to worship, then you die a horrible death. So in this chapter, the three Hebrew boys, because of their conviction and their faith, they decided that we're not going to worship. Now, the word of what they chose not to do didn't go directly to the king first. It went to a person to tell the king. Well, when the king heard of what these three boys have chosen not to do, he wanted to hear from himself. And they told him, we will not worship your God. We're just not going to do it. Do you understand that if you don't follow my instruction and worship my God, what is going to happen to you? You're going to be thrown into a furnace of fire. Yes, we understand that. And in the 16th verse, it says this: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this manner. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. They knew without a doubt that God was able to deliver them from this. But here's the thing that struck me. They said, but if not. That does not change how I feel about my decision. But if not, we know that God can do whatever it is he wants to do. And our intentions and our hope is when we ask God to do something for us, particularly if we've been faithful and we've been doing the things of God, that when we ask that he would do it. Right? We expect that. The Bible says that if we pray about anything, he will give it to us. But if not, what happens? If God chooses in his sovereignty to not do what it is that you've asked him to do, and a lot of times it's not always that he's chosen not to, it's just he's chosen not to right now. We want it right now. But if he chooses not to, we still are not going to bow and worship your God. The but if not stuck with me because we need to be some but if not Christians. Because our stand on our faith and our conviction is what should be our backbone, what should be our foundation, because we know God is able. But there are times when we ask for something, and here's the thing that you've got to consider. God knows better than us what we need. He knows better than us the timing that we need it. Prevention is better than cure. Would you agree? So we eat our vegetables. We drink 8 glasses of water every day. We don't do drugs. We exercise regularly. We don't exceed the speed limit. We pray and we believe the Bible. But despite all our efforts to prevent something from going wrong, sometimes things still go wrong. Sometimes things still don't happen the way that you desire for them to happen. Sometimes it comes to a point to where all of this prevention, you have all this stuff in the news now about what to eat, what not to eat, how much you're supposed to, how many glasses of water you're supposed to drink. You're supposed to do this, and you go to the gym 3 times a week, you exercise, you do all of these things. But sometimes things still go wrong. Some of the healthiest people have just dropped dead. No explanation. He was healthy. We don't understand. It just happened. But God was in control. It's not for us to try to figure out why things happen the way they happen. It is for us to trust and stand on our faith and our convictions on what it is that the God above wants us to do, when to do it, how to do it. That means we have to be led by his spirit in everything that we do, in understanding who he is and who he is to us. Pastor said it several times, it's a personal relationship. Putting things into context, what it is that's really going on with you at the time, how the word applies to you at the time, because the way the word applies to me and what I'm going through may not apply the same to you and what you're going through. So you can't determine whether or not God is more in tune to answer my prayer than yours. We have to stand on our convictions and our faith on what it is that we have learned and what God has told us. Yes, sir. And do what we know to do that is best, and not rely on our feelings, as I talked about last week. The Bible says in Matthew 5:37, you should let your yes be yes and your no be no. Two things that people always strive to know. And when they find these two things out, they feel like they're on the road and the path that they're supposed to go. Those two things are, who am I and what is my purpose? Why am I here? Once God reveals those two things to you, then you can start on your true journey of knowing what it is that you're supposed to be doing in this life. And let me say this. When you find those two things out, there are a few things that you have to understand, that when you are put in the position to where you want to do things for God and minister to people, You have to open up your mind at the way God operates through you, because he doesn't always operate in a way to where he puts you in a position to where you're preaching to somebody or where you're throwing a scripture at somebody. One of the greatest ways that you minister to people is being you. If I don't ever hear a word from you as it relates to the Bible, but you are in my presence every day, all I have to do is watch you. Watch how you operate. Watch how you carry yourself. Watch how, when something comes upon you that causes you to have to make a decision, which decision are you going to make? Is your decision going to be rooted in what the word says you're supposed to respond? Or are you going to respond or react selfishly? And when you do that, depending on what it is that you say to people, it could contradict. And then you get into a situation where you have to use the old adage, do what I say, but not what I do. You confuse people when you do that. So therefore, there are certain things that you have to be persuaded about, things you have to be solid about. Faith under fire. And I know these are small, so forgive me. I'm going to read them, so if you want to write them down. But there are five key points that I want to get across to you this morning to understand that when you're exercising your faith under fire, fire means when you're going through a tough situation, there are certain things that God gives you power to do to make it through. First of all, you have to be persuaded. In this story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were persuaded that their God was God. You can create a gold God, a silver God, a bronze God, a platinum God. It don't matter. My God is the God. Now, in the story, it talks about a golden God that was created. But you know what? There are other gods that people worship other than the real God. And sometimes they don't even realize that's what they're doing. But if you want to know if that's what they're doing, examine their life and see what they put first. What is the most important thing, particularly when it lines up against the God, on what's more important in your life? You think about the excuses people make for not coming to church, for not studying the word, for not doing the things that you're supposed to do to grow. And it's not a ritual thing. It's not something that you're commanded to do. God wants us to want to do it because it's relationship. If you make somebody do something in your behalf, in your favor, what good is that? If I have to tell you to tell me you love me all the time, then what is the benefit? You're just following the instruction. But it feels so much better when you just say it out of your own heart. I don't have to give you an instruction to do it. It just flows. God gave you that to say it. Your words are powerful. You encounter people and God. Have you ever been in a situation to where you missed an opportunity to represent God to somebody and later on you go, man, I should have did that. You have to seize the moment. God gives you sometimes only a moment to infect the life. We have to take advantage of those moments. A lot of times we don't take advantage of those moments because we're not confident in who we are. A few minutes ago, I said it's very important for us to know who we are in Christ. That way we can be confident when those moments come and don't let them pass up. Don't let them pass you by. We have to be persuaded. We have to understand that there would be pressure. Just because you're a Christian does not mean you're not going to go through stuff. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. There would be pressure. Gold is not refined until it is put in the fire. Pressure brings out the truth. When the king heard their words of defiance, He didn't back down. He turned up the pressure. He made the furnace even hotter. But guess what? They didn't back down either. They said, if you know, I don't care. You can turn it up as hot as you want. We're not going to bow. I'm standing on my faith and my convictions on what I believe. And it does not matter what you do, because my God is bigger than you. And I believe that. That is my belief, that my God is bigger than you. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody has presented something to you, and in your flesh, the intent is to scare you? But if you're so in tune with God and knowing who he is in your life, when they come to you with that kind of stuff, to me, it's funny. You can look at them and go, do you know who my God is? But if not, I know he's able, but if he doesn't, I'm still standing on my conviction and my faith that he can if he wants to. And if he does not want to at this time, I trust him anyway. That's one that we got to grow to. Even if it doesn't happen, even if the pressure comes, I am persuaded. I understand that I'm being pressured, but I also understand that he's still God and he's got my best interest. So whatever it is that he allows, Romans 8:28 says, is for my good. And most times the growth comes through the fire. We don't want to go through hard times. We don't want to go through things that press us, that is not comfortable. But you know what? Being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, standing on your convictions on what it is that you know is right and true, you will, when you come through the fire, you will be as pure gold. You will be more refined than you were before. And what keeps us from staying steadfast through the fire is fear. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. But we have to do something to maintain that. God is always there. He wants us to want to. We also have to understand that God's protection is always present, even when it doesn't feel like it. God is protecting us. When Nebuchadnezzar threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, the chains broke. Jesus walked in with them and then walked out with them, and they didn't smell like smoke. So they're in the fire now. The fire is so hot that the men that were putting them in the fire got burned up. That's hot. So now they're in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar comes down and says, wait a minute. Didn't we put three in there? Yes, we put three in there. Well, I see four. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Let me submit to you this. When you're in the fire, and a lot of times it may be just you, maybe you and your wife or whoever. Think about this. There is an extra person in there with me. Because his word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We don't always remember that when we're going through. But we have to pray and understand that God is always with us. And there are a lot of us in here right now that if we allow for testimony service, as they used to do in the old church, and telling your story, to see how you're sitting here now, blessed and looking good and smelling good and just blessed. If you were to come up and tell your story, we would wonder, how in the heck are you sitting here right now? Back straight, groomed right, smelling good, blessed, money in your pocket, How did you make it? How did you make it? Your story is a ministry. And we, a lot of times, don't put the value on that. But everybody in here has a story of when we were in the fire and the fire was turned up and it was hot and the pressure was on. But you're here today because God protected you. And he's still protecting you. And here's the beauty. The more you cultivate and grow your relationship with him, the more he will protect you, because he's always there. It's a matter of us believing and standing on our convictions that that is what it is that God said he would do. And I believe it. Amen. But it hurts God's heart when we don't do our part to represent the fact that he does do that for us. We've got to restrain from the temptation to take our own circumstance because we don't trust God to do it. Why? Because he doesn't do it fast enough. Not realizing that the delay in what he's doing is for your good. I've heard people say all the time, you know what, if I could go back and change such and such, I wouldn't change a thing because it made me who I am. The fire makes you who you are. And if you hadn't decided that the way you're going to carry yourself through the fire is to believe God, then there are certain situations that you can't allow to take you out. Because if you don't allow God to be activated in your life based on what his word says, you will make a bad decision. And then you will regret not doing it. And even then, the God we serve, when we make those bad decisions and we still have breath in our bodies, he's still there. So when we finally come to ourselves and repent, he loves us back, just like the prodigal son. Think about it. When he was out there doing all of this stuff, I'm pretty sure that there was a thought from time to time that I've made a mistake. But the Bible says that when he came to himself. So before he came to himself, I would imagine that there were times when he was coming to himself and was tempted to not come all the way. Why? Because I got this. It's not that bad yet. And I really think that I can fix it if I just stay focused. How many times have you seen people, you ask people how they reach a certain level of success? They never give God credit. They give you all of this stuff about, I just stay focused. I just keep my nose to the grindstone. I just do this and I got all these disciplines and all these things. And they never mention God in that thing. But if you really talk to them about the rest of the story, you'll find out before they hit that level of success, there were some things that happened to them that they didn't even realize what it was doing. I went to a motivation back in the day. They used to have a lot of motivational things where they had, at, it was Reunion Arena when it was still built, and they had Zig Ziglar and Troy Aikman and Larry King, all these speakers. They had their time to speak. And people paid big money to come and hear, what did you do? Because I want to do what you did because I want that kind of success. And they think it's all principle. Well, several other speakers came up and they were giving their testimony and what I did and so forth and so on. And, you know, and me at that time, I'm listening. Where's God in it? Okay, when you gonna give God some praise? When you know, and a lot of them didn't. They just went on this thing about principle and things that you do and stay focused and all this kind of stuff. But Zig Ziglar got up, and Zig Ziglar was giving his story. And the foundation of his success came from a little old lady, black lady, who came and worked in his home for one weekend. He says she came in talking about Jesus. She left talking about Jesus. She talked about Jesus the whole weekend. Before that, little old lady who cleaned houses came in his house because of her convictions and her faith. Everything that came out of her mouth was about her God. Now, her intentions wasn't to come there and change Zig Ziglar. He was already rich at that time, speaking around whatever. But she was being herself. She was being the her that God made her to be. And just doing what it is that she felt like she was purposed to do. And she ministered to Zig Ziglar. And he got saved that weekend. He was 45 years old when he got saved. He got saved that weekend. And from that point to the rest of his life to his death, he talked about Jesus. So that young lady, she was an older lady, that weekend, one weekend with a lady who was standing on her convictions and her faith about her God, changed Zig Ziglar's life and the way he talked to people in these motivational things. Can you imagine how many people have listened to Zig Ziglar and bought his material? Because after that, his whole way he did motivational speaking changed because his foundation was secured in the fact that I didn't get here on my own. God saved me. He saved my life. And now I speak and I motivate people because of him. My success is not only because of me. Can you imagine the shock of the people who came to hear? I want to hear about your principles. I want to hear about your disciplines, what it is that you do. Can you imagine how many people got saved or considered Jesus because of his life, which was planted in him by this little old lady? So don't ever think that what you do is insignificant. You just be obedient. You just stand on your convictions and your faith. You don't know what seed you're planting, what it's going to do. You just don't know. I said last week, when you encounter somebody, they never stay the same. You either increase them or decrease them. Therefore, stand on your convictions. God will protect you. And then in the book, in that same story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they ended up getting promoted. Why? Because their convictions about their God even changed the heart of Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible says that because of the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, nobody is to speak against their God. Nobody is to say anything or do anything against them. Now, he was convinced because they walked out of that fire. But the fact that they walked out the fire, didn't smell like smoke, along with what they said before they went into the fire, even made sense to the king. It even made sense to the king. He was king. He wanted to build his own God, but turns out he wasn't a total fool. Because even his heart changed. And if their God can do this, then that's a real God. You know what? I'm going to promote y'all. Because of your belief in your God. That affected me so much to where I want to bless you with a promotion. Do you realize that the way you carry yourself, even on your job, can affect people in a way to where they want to bless you? And a lot of times they don't even tell you it's coming. You affect their way in such a positive manner and understand the fact that God is real in your life till they consider God being real in their life. I had a boss one time, real quick. I had a boss one time, my senior manager. He called me to his office, and I thought I was in trouble because you don't go to Tom Hardeman's office unless something's not right. You know what? Let me back up. He came to my office. He came to my office. Now I know I'm really in trouble. Because he's coming to my office now. This man came to my office, closed the door. I'm sitting there going, what the heck did I mess up? I had never mentioned God to him. He said, Chris, he said, this has nothing to do with work. He said, but man, he said, I'm going through something right now. And I want to know if you would pray for me. I was like, whoa. Now, I couldn't let him know that he just really shocked me. But I thought to myself, I said, okay, God, this is part of the reason why I'm here. So I prayed with him. And he told me what was going on personally. Now, he's my boss. So he felt comfortable enough to share with me his personal issues. Bosses don't normally do that. So I knew that this was a God thing. So I prayed with him. And when he left, I sat in my chair and I said, God, what just happened? Have you ever did that? When God does something just outstanding, you out of the blue, you're like, God, what just happened? And I took that with me as being able to represent God in everything that I do. So I want to encourage you in the fact that the conviction and faith that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood on in their situation to where they communicated to the king that my God is able to do this. He's able to deliver me. But if he doesn't, it does not change the way I feel and I believe. We've got to get beyond our feelings when it comes to our belief. Your feelings have nothing really to do with your belief. Your feelings really have nothing to do with what you feel as far as what you want to do for God and your dedication and your consistency on what it is that you want to do to help develop your relationship with God. Where is your conviction? Where is the faith that you stand on every day? Your faith can't be like a surfboard. You know, when you're on a surfboard, I'm standing on this thing. I got it. Whoop. It's gone. Your faith can't be like a surfboard. That as long as I'm in my power on how I activate my skill to stay on this surfboard, my faith is good. But when the surfboard slips from under me, then where am I? Your faith has to be as solid as the floor you walk on in your house. Your conviction on what you believe has to be as solid as the floor that you walk on in your house that never moves. Therefore, in our situation with our church and what we do here, we have to have that type of conviction to where when we come together, that it is a God thing. It is something that I know that I'm purposed to do. Because if I don't do what it is that God has called me to do, someone else could be at risk. Because people cross your paths for certain purposes. And we have to be ready. We have to be ready to minister. We have to be ready to be. We have to be ready to represent. And you don't always have to preach to do that. Live what's in you. You affect people every day. Have you ever had somebody tell you, you know what, there's something different about you? And you hadn't even said nothing. They've just watched you be. So let's be. Let's be. Let's be Christians. Let's stand on our convictions and our faith. Let's support our pastor and our church. Let's support one another. Let's continue to love and grow. Let's continue to be open to when God speaks to us. I always like to listen to Stephanie when she says she's had an encounter with God because she's been open to God. Now, she'll say, well, God, why are you doing this? But she allowed God to do it because she's open. And if you give him an invitation, he coming in. And he always come in when you say, okay, the invitation is active now. You keep an open invitation for God to come in. And he'll do some miraculous things. You agree? Amen. Amen. Amen.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.